I would like to take you in the Word on a journey this morning. And before I do any of that, I'd just like to ask the Holy Spirit for His strength. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we are Your children. We are the sheep of Your pasture. And we are here this morning to listen for Your voice. Jesus, would You speak to us through the holy Word of God? And Holy Spirit, would You open our eyes and our ears that we might recognize and understand and personalize the message this morning? Would You bless me as the messenger and help me to be articulate? And if not, help me to be succinct. And we all said, amen. I am excited this morning to take you to the passages of Scripture that talk about the resurrection. So would you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to read to you the story that you should be familiar with from Matthew's perspective. The title of this morning's message is The Resurrection of Hope. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Turn with me to John chapter 20, please. And let's hear John's perspective on the story. Now, all four of the evangelists wrote about this. You can read in each one of the Gospels, you can read the story of the resurrection. It's very important. In fact, it's the most important part of the entire story. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But it seems only appropriate that we should read the story here on Easter Sunday. But I'm not going to read it to you from Mark and from Luke, even though their perspective is terrific. I just want to read these two guys so you can see something here. John chapter 20. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples. You notice how John picks up where Matthew left off? You notice that? Matthew talked about the women seeing the angel and the angel telling them, "Go, tell these others," and they departed with great fear and joy. Okay, and this is now picking up from there, from that point. The woman ran to tell the disciples. Okay, and she ran and came to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." It's kind of interesting that John says that after Matthew said that the angel said that he was risen. Anyway. So they ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, came to the tomb first, and he stooped down, looking, and saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Okay, something I just want you to pick out of the story real quick, okay? I want you to pick out the fact that they did not yet know what the Scripture said. So they saw the circumstances, didn't understand the circumstances. Later, when they saw the Scripture, it made perfect sense. Okay, just keep that thought in your mind. We're going to return to that idea of not understanding what you're looking at and later finding out what you're looking at and how it actually was foretold, okay, and recognizing that that is actually exactly what's supposed to be. Okay. I could talk a lot about resurrection, Resurrection Sunday. We could preach sermons about, you know, Peter who pushes past the disciple, who, by the way, was John, the one who didn't go into the tomb, kind of stopped. He was nervous, kind of looked in, wasn't ready to dive right in, but Peter who just rushes right in. We could talk about that. We could talk about the heart that presses into God. We could talk about that faith that comes with just the word of an angel, or the faith that comes when you have to see for yourself, or we could talk about all those kinds of things, but I'm not going to. You might have heard those sermons before, and maybe you'll hear them next year. But this year I want to talk about resurrection in terms of what it means for you and me. It's the most amazing event in the entire history of the universe, okay? This is the moment that everything suddenly comes together. Everything comes together. The whole story that has been foretold in the Old Testament from the time of Adam until Christ, all of it suddenly makes sense later. Okay, when the disciples read it and they see the scriptures and see that Jesus is in fact raised from the dead. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, we would have just another martyr's blood, just another good guy who died on a cross, and it would mean nothing to you and me. But I believe that the resurrection is not just the resurrection of Jesus, but it is in fact a revelation of the resurrection that is coming for you and for me. Okay, the hope of resurrection. The hope of the resurrection from what is most certainly coming to every single one of us here seated in this room, from the youngest to the oldest. And I just turned 40 on Monday. I'm very proud of that. You guys like that? That's kind of exciting. I just have to tell you again, happy week after my birthday. And I know, it's just shameless. Isn't it shameless? Self-seeking, isn't it? It's okay. You guys didn't throw me a party, so today I'll just, you know, kind of just muscle in. Oh, muffin. Anyway. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your kind words. whether you're young or old or somewhere in the middle, just like me, okay, something is coming to every single one of us. It's a destination that we cannot avoid. It's a destination that every human being who has ever lived reaches. It's called death. It's coming. Death is coming. Kind of a downer for today, isn't it? Right now I can hear a bird singing outside. And there's sunshine out there. It's not quite as bright as it was yesterday, but there's definitely sunshine out there. And I'm thinking, well, death. How about that for a topic for the sermon today? Death is coming, my friends. But I got good news for you. Jesus' resurrection gives us a promise. Jesus' resurrection tells us a couple of things. Number one, there's something that happens after this life. Okay, if Jesus truly was raised from the dead, as the Bible says he was, then the scientists have got it all wrong. I like it. I love it. Professing to be wise, they have become fools. The scientists have it all wrong. I just found out this week, I don't know if you were reading the news, but I found out this week that they finally got that thing cranking in CERN in Switzerland. That great big particle accelerator. Did you find out about that thing? They've got particles accelerating, particles and antiparticles or reverse particles, or I don't know, accelerating at different directions around that thing. And I don't know, can you go different directions at the same time? Anyway, they're just accelerating these things around this massive great being 17 miles or whatever it is underground somewhere. And at some point they collide and there they're hoping to find the Higgs boson. Did I pronounce it correctly, Richard? The Higgs boson, which is the God particle. They're trying to find it. And it's a $10 billion project that's finally come to fruition after 20 years. And my uncle's been working on it. Okay, I think he's somewhere on the team. He's a nuclear physicist and a particle physicist or whatever they call it, working on this thing. And they're just so excited. It's this dream that's finally coming to being. And I want you to know they got it all wrong. Oh, I'm sure that God will reveal all kinds of wonderful things to them. And amidst all of that, they're going to find the most horrifying frustration, because they're going to discover that they just simply can't get it. They can't make it happen. And you might say, Eric, well, you're just full of yourself. No, no, I'm not. I'm a firm believer in the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? They can collide particles together all they want to, but did they create the particles? Where'd they get the particles? God says, make your own particles and collide them, okay? Those are my particles. I made them. Okay? So you go ahead and collide them. If you can figure out how I did it, well, just terrific. You guys are great. But where did you get the particles? They got it all wrong. If Jesus truly was raised from the dead, you know what that means? That means this old flesh that's decaying and dying, okay, that every time I sit up and look in the mirror, because we've got a mirror right in front of, you know, the dress is in front of the bed, it's got a mirror on it, we should probably move that thing. Every time I look up in the morning, I see myself and I think, oh God, oh God. You know, you should be thinking, oh God, we worship you. He said, oh God. I got good news for you. Death's coming. But it's not the end. It's not the end. That's the whole message of the gospel. Isn't that awesome? Well, it's not quite the whole message of the gospel. There's a little bit more. There's a little bit more. Because death is coming to everybody, but there's a second death which is coming to some. There's a second death which is coming to some. Now, I'm going to preach some things to you today that you may have heard before. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun, so don't blame me if you're bored with it, okay? If you're bored with it, it's not because it's boring, it's because you're boring, all right? I'm just telling you the truth, okay? If you're bored with what God did in Jesus Christ, then you need to get a life, okay? You must be dead as a hammer or something. You need the Spirit of God to breathe life into you, okay? What God did through Jesus Christ is so exciting. It's so amazing. I don't care how many times you tell me this is exciting and it's wonderful. It's like bungee jumping. Every time you jump off of that cliff or that tower or whatever it is, the same rush, the same adrenaline happens because it's exciting, all right? And this is better than bungee jumping. I want you to know that while you may have heard some of these things before, you need to hear them again because you need to be adequately able to transfer this information to other people. And it's more than just information. You need to live it. You need to have it inside of you so that you can live an extraordinary life in ordinary days. Okay? It's no ordinary day. That's the framework for our whole year. No ordinary day. We want to live extraordinary lives where everybody else is just humdrum. Okay? This morning I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is offering a reprieve from the second death. That's what the resurrection means. The resurrection doesn't mean that you're not going to die here. You're going to die here. Okay? I hate to tell you that. Some of you are like, I'm not going to die. I'm going to go up in a cloud. Well, if the Lord returns, and that's exactly what He has in mind, if He returns within your lifetime, then hallelujah, God bless you. But I want you to know there's been 2,000 years of saints looking for that ticket. Okay? And it hasn't happened yet. It's coming, and we may be the generation. May it be. Wouldn't that be awesome? But the likelihood is that the Lord is going to tarry because He wants people to get saved. And I don't know what you think, but the whole world doesn't know about Jesus yet. There are places where they've never even heard His name. May the whole world hear His name. May the whole world be filled with the fame and the wonder and the glory of God. May the whole earth be filled with it, and may you and I be the messengers that carry that name. So I need to present this gospel truth to you in a way that you can get excited about it, you can carry it with you, you can live it, and you can show it and display it to the rest of the world. Jesus Christ has come to give us a reprieve from the second death. Everybody say the second death.
Second death.
The second death is the eternal one. That's the one that lasts forever. That's the incarceration. That's where the devil's headed. And the Bible says that's where everybody who doesn't believe in what God has done in Jesus Christ, that's where they're headed to. Now, I want you to know that in this life that we're living right now, we are, in fact, kind of like we're on a, what are those things at the airport that you step on that just move? Those walkways, the moving walkway, thank you, David, just been on one probably. Those moving walkways, you're on a moving walkway and it's going places, okay? Life is happening all around you and you are getting older and you are progressing towards that goal, I mean, that not a goal, but that termination point for life here on this planet, okay? And you can't stop that advancing. It's like the waves of the sea, you can't sit there and command them to stop, they keep coming. You're going places. The truth is, you are going places whether you are deciding to go places or not. You're going places. Young people, you need to hear this. You guys are back there, listen carefully, okay? You are going places. Now, whether you've chosen your destination or not is irrelevant. You are moving. You're on a moving walkway and you can't stop that thing. You can't get off of it, okay? It's going with and without your help. Okay. The question is, where is it taking you? Is it taking you towards life, or is it taking you ultimately towards the second death? Every one of us needs to recognize that what we do here has consequences for our eternity. All right? We should know by now that we're not perfect people. Anybody here still think they're perfect? I almost saw a hand going up there. We've realized that we're not perfect yet. We've realized we make a lot of mistakes. Okay, so we should know that right now, if we're just drifting in life, if we're out on this wide blue ocean and we are actually drifting places, there's a current underneath us that's carrying us places, we ought to know that without a destination, without a specific direction, we're going to drift off into oblivion. We're going to drift off, we're going to run aground somewhere. We need to have a specific direction where we're going. Well, this morning, I want to read to you a couple of passages of Scripture that have to do with resurrection, things that Jesus said, and how I'm going to talk about how they impact your life, because I believe that we started out little kids with this beautiful, you know, wide-eyed wonder, looking at the world and thinking about our golden opportunities and how we're going to become something and grow up to be someone and go somewhere. And all of us have this desire on the inside of us. Now, it doesn't matter what our circumstances were, we feel like we can do better than that. It doesn't matter who we were born to or what kind of home we were raised in, whether it was a loving home or an abusive home. There's something inside of us that feels like we've got a destiny. We can become someone. It's innate. It's in you. And it's wide-eyed wonder. It's this wonderful thing called hope. Wonderful thing called hope. And today, I want to liken that to kind of a sailing vessel. I want to make it like a beautiful, nice, fast-moving sailing vessel with one of those great big sails, kind of like the things you see out the America's Cup out of Narragansett Bay, right? That's the kind of vessel that I'm going to say, this is your hope. You're given this. This is part of who you are, and you're going places. You want to go places. You've got the wherewithal to go all the way around the world and do anything you want. And that's how you feel as a little kid. But somewhere in the middle of all of it, things begin to happen to you. Stuff that's beyond your control. Storms arise and blow you off course. Things break. You lose the ropes. The boom hits you in the head. Whatever it might be, you run aground. The shallows, you run into shallows and you can't see what's underneath the water. All you can see is what's around you. Beautiful sunshiny day and you're just cooking along thinking everything's great, but you don't know what's underneath you, and suddenly, boom, you run aground on a sandbar or a coral reef or something, and you're stuck, and all of a sudden life starts to go wrong. You start making decisions based on what you thought you could do before. You say, well, I've done this kind of thing before. It's never hurt me in the past. You know, well, I've told a few lies before, never really got caught out. It's no big deal. I can do it again. And then suddenly it starts catching up with you, because unbeknownst to you, the ground underneath you was getting shallower and shallower. The shore, it looked like it was, you know, way out there, and you didn't think it was any problem at all, but you couldn't see down below the water. Suddenly things start happening and things start going wrong. You've looked at things you shouldn't have looked at. Never hurt you before. But it's getting shallower. You've yelled at your spouse before. Only this time they said it's enough. And they're going to get up and leave. Maybe you've done your own thing for so long. You never had to have responsibility. Suddenly mom and dad aren't paying the bills anymore. Suddenly it's not working out so good. Or maybe somebody dies. Maybe a relationship goes sour. Maybe where you thought you had control over a certain substance, suddenly that substance has got control over you. In hope, that beautiful vessel starts breaking apart. I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is the resurrection of hope. And I want to tell you how to get there. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11, would you? John chapter 11, and this is a great passage of Scripture about somebody who got raised from the dead. In verse 17, it says, so when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Hope has just run aground. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Wonderful passage of Scripture. Now turn over a couple of pages to John chapter 14. We're going to read something else that Jesus said about himself. John chapter 14, verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, I want you just to have a look at something in your mind, okay? Can you guys get a little eye contact right here just to make sure that you're not sleeping? Good. I'm gonna just pretend that we have a device up here that you guys will all recognize. It's a dry erase board. Can you see it? It's right here. It's on a nice little easel. I actually have one somewhere, but we didn't get it out today. Anyway, in your mind, you can just see my dry erase board. And I'm going to take out my dry erase marker right now, and I'm just going to draw something up here on the board for you, and you're going to see it in your mind's eye. Are you ready? Okay. Jesus says, 1, "I am the resurrection and the life." It's a big board. You like that? Okay. Jesus also says, 2, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Period. Okay. You're looking at my board right now, and what can you see? You can see these two statements written one on top of the other. And I want to draw a correlation between the two statements, and I want to do it kind of like a grid, okay? And there are two parts to the grid, all right? There's one column, and then there's a second column. And in one column, I've got, "I am the resurrection," and second column, "the life." Underneath it, I've got, "I am the way, the truth," first column, second column, "and the life," okay? Notice these two things. And now I want to draw a correlation between what's in column 1 and what's in column 2. You guys with me so far? Brilliant students, all of you. Absolutely. A students. Gold star. So, Jesus is giving us, in these things, I believe, he's giving us a map. We're on a little vessel, the hope, which has run aground in shallow waters. Shallow waters because we were not listening and paying attention to what's going on around us. We weren't listening to those who've been where we've been before. Okay, we decided, "I'm doing this on my own." That's right, all you young guys back there, you're deciding. This is for you guys in the back row, and believe it or not, it's for all of you people right here as well. Okay, so listen carefully. We have decided we're going to do our own thing, and it doesn't matter who's gone before us and who tells us they've got wisdom and who tells us, "Oh, you're going to run aground right there." We're not going to listen to them because we want to do it our own way. Are you listening to me? All right. We decided this is my life. I'm going to choose to live it the way I want to. And you know what? I don't really care what you guys say. I've got my own hopes. I've got my own dreams. I've got my own vision. And I'm doing it my own way. I just want to tell you, you young people, get ready. You're going to run aground. Okay? And you know what's worse? Running aground in the middle of a storm. You know what's even worse than that? Running aground in the middle of a storm when there's no land to be seen anywhere. Okay, what's even worse than that? Running aground in the middle of a storm when there's no land to be seen and you have no life vest. Okay, and you're like, "Ah, it's the modern era. I've got GPS. I just press the button." Okay, so the little device goes off in the water. Beep, 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 beep. And don't worry, some helicopter will come and find me. Okay, I've got news for you. This is you guys in the back row. I've got news for you, okay? It's not the modern era. There is no upgrading of any of these devices, okay? There is only one way. There's only one way. The technology in the natural world is upgraded every year, thanks to marketing. But the technology in God's spiritual world remains the same and will never, ever change. Okay? I'm going to tell you now, you want to choose to do your own thing and go your own route and not listen to anybody else, you are going to run aground. Last year, in October, was it last year? 2 years ago, in October. When the market was about to crash. You guys remember there was all kinds of hoopla going on. It was just before the elections, and we were all very, very concerned about what was going on in America and the rest of the world. And during that time, there was this amazing thing that took place off of the coast of Gibraltar, right at the pass between, you know, the rocks of Gibraltar. And there was a merchant vessel from a Western African country, and this merchant vessel was called the Fedra. And the Fedra had a captain who thought that he could do it his own way, okay? Now, I don't know if you guys remember this. I paraded around the pictures shortly after this event because they were just so remarkable. I still have it on my computer somewhere. I would show it to you on a big display right there. Imagine that now in your mind, okay? Big display, all right? The captain of the merchant vessel, Fedra, thought that he could get closer to the coastline than what was recommended in the charts, okay? Because he had done it many times before and he thought, well, this is no problem. I've done it before, I've done it my own way, I'm doing it my own way again, and nobody's going to tell me how to do it. I'm the captain of this vessel. And here's what happened. A storm arose as the captain was getting closer to the cliffs, closer to Gibraltar, and there's this lighthouse that's flashing away. And this message is coming to him, Captain, you're getting too close to the rocks. You can't come this close to shore. You're going to run aground. You're going to destroy your vessel. You've got to get out into the deeper water. And the captain said, I've done this before. Well, here's what happened. In the middle of the storm, the current and the wind began to push that huge merchant vessel much closer to the cliffs than what that guy thought he was going to get. And suddenly he wasn't in control anymore. Okay? And all of a sudden, everything he'd always been able to do before, he was no longer able to do. That merchant vessel, I got photographs of this thing, was washed up against the cliff. The cliff stood above the vessel. It was how tall the cliff was, and there's a lighthouse on top of the cliff. And underneath the cliff, you got this photograph of the Fedra breaking apart against the cliff. The entire massive ocean-going cargo vessel broke in two right there in the storm underneath the lighthouse. Amazing. And by the way, that was with the new technology. I want you to know something. Jesus is giving us a map. He's giving us a chart. This morning I brought a chart with me. I brought a few good things with me right here, actually, kind of fun. These are brand new. I'm very excited about these. And got these given to me this morning because I didn't have them for the first lesson. It's very cool. Okay, what I have right here is a very cool chart. Cape Cod South Shore and Buzzards Bay. It's a nautical chart. This morning we're talking about you in your little vessel, the Hope. Okay, which is a deep-keeled sailing vessel, very fast-moving sailing vessel, very full of potential. That's you. It represents your life. It represents everything that God has given you. You've got beautiful sails, and they're nicely colored, and everybody's a little different, and could look amazing out there on race day. Okay, but you're worthless in the ocean without a chart. Now, I want to just take a close look at this chart right here, and let's go with Marcia. You're on the front row. I told you, front row is a dangerous place to be. So let's take Marcia on the front row. And Marcia, I don't know if you can see this, but notice there's something like all over this map. There's like little things everywhere. Can you notice it? What are those things? Can you see? All these little things. What are they? Do you need some help? Let me just help you. Marcia. Marcia is also 40. Thank you. So what I have for Marcia right here, it's one of these. So Marcia right here, she's got her own reading glasses, but I'm going to help you out. This is more higher powered than your reading glasses. You're going to love this thing. Okay, take a look at that. What do you see? What do you see through there? Can you see anything? What are they? There's numbers. There's numbers on the chart. Let's try some of these other folks. Let's have a look. Thank you, Marcia. A round of applause, please, for Marcia on the front row. Okay, let's have a look at some of our younger folk. Front row again. Okay, can you see those numbers all by yourself right there? No, you probably need one of these as well. Okay. It's kind of cool, especially when you do stuff like this. You know. Anyway, there's numbers on there. Listen, the chart has got numbers. Anybody know what those numbers represent?
Depths of water.
Thank you very much. There's numbers, and in the blue areas around the outside, okay, by the way, the yellow part is the land, the blue part is the shallow waters, okay, and the white part is the deep waters, all right? And if you look at these numbers, get a little closer to the shore, I'll just make sure I can see this, okay? You can see it's 1 foot, 2 feet, maybe 3 feet depth, sometimes goes to 10, drops off a little bit. As you go a little further out, it drops off 20, 21, 30, 50 feet, some places on here where it's even deeper than that. It's pretty cool. What do you think the purpose of all those depth charts are, those depth things are? Anybody? It's a warning, so you don't run aground. Absolutely. When you plot your course, okay, you plot your course basically in a deep channel, especially if you're a deep keel vessel. Now, it doesn't matter so much if you're in one of those that only draws like a foot of water and it's a, you know, some sort of fishing boat and you've got a 3-horsepower engine on the back. But we're not talking about that kind of boat. Your hope is not a little you're not puttering around a little 3-horse John boat, okay, Johnny boat. You are in a beautiful, sleek racing vessel. Okay, it's gorgeous, absolutely beautiful. You got to see one of these things on the open ocean. Absolutely amazing. That's who you are. I want you to know, if you go on one of those vessels, you do not want to be that close to shore. But some of you are saying, I don't really care. Okay, and quite honestly, I don't care. Because I want to be there, all right? That's where I want to go. And I'm going to get there. Well, the person who's looking at this map and who's paying a little attention will say, well, there's no harbor there, buddy. You can't bring a deep-keeled vessel there. I don't care. It's where I want to be. I like the look of that land right there. I like the look of that. You say, I want to make a pit stop here. I want to make a detour here. I like the idea of hanging out with my friends and doing such and such. I like to watch these kinds of movies, or I like to go to this kind of a party, that's just for the young folks. For the older folks, I like to have this kind of definition for my life. I want to be, you know, this old and retired and playing golf in Florida, and this is my life, and that's great. Or you say, well, you know what? Many other people say that they've been there, but honestly, if you talk to people who've spent their whole lives building that kind of a dream, you'll discover something. They ran aground. Listen, if you want to play golf, nobody's going to play golf better than Tiger Woods, okay? Nobody else here is going to earn $1 billion playing golf, all right? Okay? And guess what happened to Tiger Woods? So I'm going to tell you that your little retirement plans at some golf resort, okay, or some little place in Florida or Arizona or wherever it is that you're planning to go, I just want you to know that people run aground there. And if that's your goal in life, get ready to run aground. This is not just about people it's not just me trying to tell you don't have a party and stuff, because I think you should be, you know, all somber and miserable. I'm just telling you, you weren't designed for shallow waters. You were not designed for shallow waters. Have you ever seen one of those racing vessels out on the open ocean? You ever seen when you've got a team of like 12 people or 8 people, I don't know how many people fit on that thing, but they're all up on this end of the boat and the whole thing is tipped up like this, and that deep keel is still hanging in the water there because that's what it's there for, is to keep it from tipping over, but that sail is almost touching the water and that thing is racing! I mean, just cutting across a bay, it's just amazing to see. And the spray in your face, it's wild, it's adventure, it's huge, there's adrenaline. It doesn't matter how many times you do it, you still love it. Your heart races every single time. If you did it every day of your life, it would still race. That's what you were designed for. And how many of us get stuck in these shallow waters and we either got our keel so deep in that mud that's never going to get out, or we're breaking apart in some shallow waters because there's a storm of life coming against us. And it all happens because we've got some stupid idea in our heads that we're going to do it our way. Jesus comes and he gives us a map and he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to mark off the spot where you want to be with an X right here, okay? X marks the treasure spot, okay? I'm going to give you a destination. A map is great, but a destination on the map is even better. Knowing where you want to go is very important for plotting your course. If you're going to chart your course, you need to know where you're going. Jesus comes and he marks on the map with a big X. He says, "This is where you're going." And what did he say? Where did he say we're going? He said to the disciples, and Thomas was the one who said, "I have no idea where you're going, Jesus." Jesus said, "No, you know where I'm going. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to the Father. That's where I'm going." He said, that's where you're going. We're all going to stand one day before that judgment seat of God. And there at that judgment seat of God, if we have followed the chart that Jesus set out for us, which, by the way, is the course of faith, okay, deep waters. If we've run that course, we get there, then we're going to find that we are exempt from the second death. And more than just being exempt from the second death, we're going to be welcomed into the embrace of the Father. He said, where I'm going, that's where you're going. And where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. And that's where you and I are going. That's the destination. The destination is not some fancy house. The destination is not some beautiful bride. The destination is not some great education. The destination is not your bank account. The destination is not Florida on vacation. The destination... Front row. She'll never sit on the front row again. The destination. The destination, okay, is the heart of God. The destination is not some pirate-run port in the Caribbean where everybody's drinking themselves silly on rum and beating one another over the head, okay, and stealing one another's gold. And running out of everything in life. The destination is not you marooned on some little island somewhere in the middle of nowhere. The destination is the heart of the Father. Did you get the picture here? There's a couple of things we need. We need Jesus to plot the chart for us. I've got good news for you. It doesn't matter where you are on the map, you can get to the destination. That's the exciting part. You may have blown off course. You may have chosen the wrong port of call. You may be in the wrong place, but you can still get to where you need to be. That's the cool thing about being on the map. And by the way, everybody just go do this real quick. Do that. Okay. You're breathing? Yeah, everybody's breathing. Take a look at your neighbors. Everybody breathing? Okay, make sure some of it. Yeah, okay. Just shake them a little bit. They're breathing. If they're breathing, okay, if you're breathing, you're on the map. All right? You are on the map. That's good news. This is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He comes to you and here's your vessel stuck in the mud and he says, listen, I am going to resurrect your hope, but you've got to believe in me. I'm going to give you a chart and here's the chart. This is the word of God and somebody went before us. Somebody who knows the universe because he built it. Somebody who knows our lives because he made them. Somebody who knows where we're supposed to be because he designed the destination. Somebody who knows exactly what we're going to encounter because he's done it. And he charted out and he wrote down on that map everywhere where the water is deep and every place where the water is shallow. And he wrote it out for you right here in the Word. And that's why you need the Word. Yes. That's why you need the Word. You cannot find your way from one place to another without the map. You've got to have the map. Otherwise, you're going to be like Captain Cook who sailed around the world. Okay, by the way, great guy, great explorer. Don't you just love Captain Cook? What a fabulous guy. James Cook. Okay, got in his vessel and he sailed around the world and he discovered all kinds of things and he was charting his own course and plotting his own way. And you know how he ended up? He ended up in a pot being cooked and eaten. Okay, great, great ending to a terrific story. Okay, Cook, what an ironic name, huh? Okay. Oh, the irony. Listen. You want to plot your own course? Get ready to end up in a pot cooking. Okay. Somebody's already done it for you. You don't have to do it yourself. That's what the Word of God is all about. Now, you're saying to me, well, I don't want to follow the rules. Listen, these numbers over here are not rules. They're laws, okay? You cannot change them. They are immutable. You go out to this particular point right here at whatever it is, north 41 degrees and 37 minutes and 6 seconds, okay, and west 70 degrees, 46 minutes and 8 seconds, you are going to find that the depth right there is 28 feet, okay? The depth is 28 feet. I don't know whether that's high tide or low tide, but you're going to find that's immutable. That's unchanging. That's the bed of the ocean, and it's going to be that deep right there no matter what day of the week it is. Okay? It's a law. It's not a rule. It's not there to just say, hey, you do this, and by the way, if you do this, you're going to be just fine. No, it's there to tell you, if you don't do this, okay, you're going to die. Hello? Merchant vessel Fedra. This is the lighthouse at Gibraltar. You are going to run aground. Adjust your course. No. I'm the captain of this vessel. I do whatever I want to do. You lighthouse, yeah, whatever. You're stuck, I'm moving. Cheers. The Word of God is not a rod to your back. It's markings on a chart that tell you what to expect. Because you think on a sunny day everything's just fine, but it's not what you can see above the water that really matters. It's what's below the water that you can't see that really matters. And how many of you can see into the spirit realm? Anybody? No. No, you can't. That's why you need somebody who's always been there and who is there right now, who can tell you what's happening around you spiritually. He can give you discernment and he can tell you what's below you. Okay? He is like that depth finder that is constantly with you, and he can tell you if you listen. He's going to plot your course for you. He's going to show you how to get there from wherever you are on the map. And I want you to know that the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not to leave you marooned on your little island. It's to get you from your maroon state and to get you to the heart of the Father. That is the gospel. That is the gospel of grace. It's not works. It's not you trying to prove yourself to God. No, it's getting from point A to point B. That's what it is. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will get you there, and God's going to do it. And I'll tell you how he's going to do it in just a miraculous way in just a few minutes, okay? But you've got to be willing to allow him to steer the vessel, give you a direction on your chart, and then you're going to turn the rudder based on where he told you to go. This little item that I pulled out represents your desire to know a little bit more about what's going on around you. Okay, and some of us are perfectly content, okay, to just let life happen. But I want you to know that we get a lot of damage that way we don't necessarily have to have. We get a lot of damage and we go through difficulties we do not have to go through, and God will save us those things. Listen, God still loves you. You make wrong decisions, I make wrong decisions, God still loves us. It's just that he can't protect us when we do that. You're running off doing your own thing. Just expect to reap the whirlwind, man. Expect to reap the whirlwind. And God's grace is such that he tells you how to get out of it. But if you still choose to go there, yeah, whatever. This represents our desire to look a little closer. Because our eyes aren't very good. We need God's help. Our desire, along with his word, will help us to recognize things on there that are immutable, unchangeable, and if we plot the course, if we allow Jesus to plot our course, we're going to stay clear of trouble. There's something else that we need. We need perspective. I've got these very cool glasses right here. Don't you love fun things like this? Keeps you awake anyway. They're very fun. I can kind of see all kinds of things about you right now. I'm looking at you. It's like I can see Joe back there. Joe's looking up the stairs right now. He doesn't know I'm talking about him. He's talking to somebody else and pointing. It's kind of fun. And I'm looking back. I see the guys waving at me in the back row. Don't you love the perspective that you get? Being able to see a little bit more than what you can normally see. You get perspective with that guy. It's your desire looking into the Word. But you know that the Word is not all that we have to work with here. Yeah, because sometimes the Word is, it's a chart, but it's great. But I don't know where I am on this chart. You know what I'm saying? I've got to find out where I am in life. And I'm not quite sure. And I need an evaluation. I need to figure out just exactly where do I find myself. Because if I think I'm over here in Mattapoisett Harbor, okay, when in fact I'm way over in Hyannis, then I could find, some direction here, and I could say, okay, well, I've got to go 2 miles out this way and then go that way about 3 miles. And if I go 2 miles that way and 3 miles that way, I'm not going to end up in the right place. Because I didn't know where I started. I need to know where I am, and you need to know where you are. Where are you right now? Are you really thick with the Lord? Are you tight with Jesus? Because if you are, that's great. But if you're not, let's be honest about where you are. You can't come in here and just pretend that, hey, I'm in a great place, and then think everything's going to be just fine. No, let's get honest with where you are. Let's make a true evaluation. We're not judging you based on where you are. I'm not asking you to judge me based on where I am. I'm just saying, hey, this is where I am. Regardless of how I got here, maybe a storm blew me over here. Maybe circumstances happened that were beyond my control, got me here. Or maybe I made bad choices. But whatever it might be, but this is where I am. Okay? And that's honesty. And starting with where you are and then being able to check out the landmarks around you to say, oh, look, that's on my map. Hey, wait a second. I see that. That's right here. The Bible said that this is what I was going to be able to see if I look up from where I am right now. I look to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. So I'm looking up and I'm saying, I've got bad circumstances around me, but oh, wait a second. There's help coming. Oh, yeah, right there. The Word said it was coming, and truly, there it is. And you know what I start doing? I start recognizing the hand of God in my circumstances around my life. And I start giving thanks and credit to God for where I am. And I also start looking and seeing, I can see the devil's at work there. And so I'm going to avoid that place because I'm recognizing I've got some discernment in my life. I'm starting to see. I've got the word which tells me what to expect. That's on the map. Then I've got what's happening around me in reality, okay? And I'm recognizing that. And if I can put the two of them together and say, oh yeah, that's exactly what was going to happen, I'm on course. I'm starting to head in the right direction. Now, you may say to me, well, that's great, Eric. I love your illustration, and that's true. You know, I can understand, you know, if you start seeing things, you can start seeing dangers and whatever, and you can start seeing direction. But what if you're out there in the wide blue and there are no landmarks? What if there are no landmarks? What if there's nobody else around me and I just don't know? Well, I've got something else for you. I've got something else for you. This is very cool. This right here is a very cool compass. It's not a nautical compass, but it's a very cool compass anyway. Actually, neither of these devices are nautical devices, but they're very cool. Second World War British military issue. Both of these, actually, these things. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that just make you feel warm and fuzzy? Anyway, I'm a little weird like that. I love collecting old stuff. So anyway, this amazing thing about this thing. Does anybody know what that is? Did I already tell you what it was? It's a compass. Spill the beans already. Amazing thing about a compass is I can put it any old direction. Let's put it that way. Okay, and according to this compass, amazing things happen. It's got this little device inside that just keeps moving. And then finally, it finds a place where it's just happy to stop. And it's got a little red thing pointing that direction. And it says, that's north. And you know, the crazy thing about that compass, no matter where I stand in the building, that's going to be north. Okay, I can go upstairs, that's going to be north. I can stand in the parking lot, that's going to be north. I go stand at Mr. Perry's Tux, and I can point the compass this way, and that's going to be north. God gives us something on the inside of us, which allows us to know the direction that we're supposed to go, even when... Okay, back to the compass, real quick. Compass is pointing north no matter where I am. I can't see where I'm going. The compass is always going to tell me. God gives us this inner compass. Now, some of us like to think of it as conscience, but I'm going to tell you conscience is weak. Conscience is not your compass. Okay, because every man's conscience is a little different to everybody else's conscience. I could believe one thing is right and you could believe something else is right. The truth be told, Luke just passed his learner's permit on Friday, which is very exciting. Well done, Luke. And he's tremendously excited about that. And Luke is now, you know, he's taken a couple of driver's ed courses, and it's actually quite annoying, to tell you the truth, because we'll be driving down the road at 40 miles an hour in a 35 zone, and Luke is going white as a sheet. He's like, you know, the blood on the side of his neck is just like standing out, and he's just white as a sheet. He's not driving. He's just sitting next to us, and he's freaking out. And we're saying, what's the matter? He says, it's a 35 zone. Now, his conscience in that regard is pretty strong. My conscience, on the other hand, says, well, there's no policeman here. We get 5 miles grace anyway, right? Okay. 5 miles grace. So let's take every 5 miles. Get 10 miles grace. Somebody said 10. Somebody says 5. I hear 20. I hear 20. That's it. Okay. I'm talking grace, brother. This is gospel of grace, right? Okay, so you were driving at 40, and it was a 35 zone, and maybe even a 30 zone, and Luke was probably white as a sheet, and it was white as a sheet. Okay, but on the other hand, it's kind of funny because, you know, Luke's driving, and it says 30, and so Luke accelerates really fast, and Tammy freaks out. What are you doing? He's driving this time, and what are you doing? It's 30. It says I have to drive at 30. No, it says you can drive at 30, not you have to drive at 30. Okay, so... one man's conscience says one thing, another man's conscience says another. Okay? Conscience is not a good enough guide. Conscience is not a good enough guide. It's not true north. It doesn't tell us. It's not even magnetic north. It doesn't tell us direction. You need something bigger than your conscience, which is why you need to be born again, my friends. Which is why you ran aground the first time because you didn't have Jesus and you were running according to your conscience. You did what seemed right in your own eyes. You did whatever you wanted and you need more than conscience now. That's why I'm going to tell you we need to have the Word of God. We need to have a little examination of the Word of God, not just the Bible on your shelf, okay? But you need to examine it. You need someone plotting your course for you, and then you need to follow that, and then you need this Holy Spirit on the inside of you who quickens your conscience by bringing to you things that are now being revealed through the Spirit of the Lord. Things that once you were dead to, but now you are alive to, okay? that Holy Spirit's voice that sometimes tells you to do things that you would normally have said, oh, that's it. Why do I have to do that? Nobody else is doing that. A combination of these devices, a combination of these things is going to help you. It's going to get you out of the shallow water and into the deep water. But my friends, something else is needed. We need more than deep water. We need more than just to stay away from trouble. And for many people, that's all the Christian life has become. And for you young people back there in the back row, let me just look at you again real quick. Just make sure you're paying attention. Okay, you guys still there? Okay, I see them. They're still there. I just want you to hear this. Christianity is more than just, it's more than just avoiding the shallow water. Okay? Because you can get out in deep water, but if you don't have your sails set to the wind, you're just going to kind of sit there. And then you're going to be like, what's all this about? You come to church on a Sunday morning, and you're like, this is what all the hoopla was about? Because you know what? This is really boring. Pastor Eric, yeah, he's okay. He dresses cool. And he's 40. And that's really cool. And I know I'm going to be that one day, and I think that's just awesome. But actually, church is boring. If this is all it's about. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else here ever feel that? Anybody else ever feel on Sunday morning like, church, why should we do that? We need more. We need more than a map. We need more than a destination. We need more than an inner compass. We need more than a pair of really cool dividers. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need more. We need the wind. We need the wind. I'm going to tell you the whole purpose for your vessel was to catch the wind. That's what it was designed for. That's what that deep keel is all about. That's what those sleek lines are all about. And you guys look really sleek right now. When you catch that wind for the first time, oh God, you're intoxicated by it. Suddenly it's no effort. Suddenly not only are you out of control, but you are marvelously out of control. You've got the rudder. Maybe. And you're holding onto the ropes and you're up against, you're on the end that's like tipped all the way up. You're over here somewhere and you're leaning heavy to the other side so that the thing doesn't tip over. But you are on there, and that's that thing, that hope, that vessel of hope, that gift of God which He gave to you is racing at top speed, and you are hitting like 40 knots or something. I don't know how fast they go, but you are reaching just breakneck speeds, and it's incredible, and the wind is rushing through your hair and the spray is wet on your face, and you are racing and you're looking at the other vessels around you, and next thing you know, you're winning the race. It's amazing. It's adventure. It's wild. It's furious. It's dangerous. It's thrilling. It's so much more than just avoiding the shallow waters. It's what you are destined for. And every single person in this church is destined for that. Let me remind you this morning that God has resurrected you to a living hope through Jesus Christ. You've been resurrected not to some mundane, average, boring, middle-of-the-road life. You've been resurrected so you can set your sails to the wind in the deep water and you can race with God. And I'm going to tell you, you will never experience that. You will never experience that, even if you've got your sails set. You will never experience it in the shallow waters, and that's why I can't tell you enough. Stop messing around and wasting your time in the shallow waters of life. Get in the deep. Read the chart. It'll tell you where the deep water is. Get in that deep water and go with God and experience the thrill of what He made you for. And nothing in this world can compare with it. And there's no port of call that's more exciting. And when your sail's up and you're racing, and people in their vessels stuck in the shallow water look up and they see you. They're reminded of what they can be. Jesus goes ahead of you, my friends. X marks the spot. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, life is where we want to be. We're all going to die. But we don't have to die twice. Though we die, yet shall we live. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Perhaps we'll experience resurrection when we experience the way and the truth. Lord, in order to get into column number 2, we want to experience column number 1. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now listen, I just want to tell you something. There is one little thing that I need you to know, okay? And then we're done. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. And sometimes we complain that the Holy Spirit is not in us, or we don't feel His motivating power and we don't feel like we're being driven by the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that's the grace of God. Because if your keel is stuck in the mud and that wind is blowing, you're going to be torn apart. So I want to tell you something. If you truly want the Holy Spirit in your life, move out into the deep water. Okay. It's not works. It's the chart. And it's not difficult. Now the Holy Spirit will empower you to get you out of there. But your destiny is not to putter around with a 3-horsepower engine in oyster harbors looking for codfish. Okay? God bless you.